Is there anyone that needs a sheet? If there's so, raise your hand. Maybe one of the young guys can go out and get some sheets for you. Does anybody have a copy of the I need one from Brother Wilson. If one of the guys want to get Brother Wilson a copy of the sheet for tonight. If you need one, just you can hold your hand up high. That they're going to get a couple of them. This will be our last message of the series. Next week we have the PTF. Brother Wilson needs one. Brother Jordan needs one. And I will try to make sure I go slow to fill in the blanks. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. If you're able to stand, I encourage you to stand as we read God's word tonight. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, 19 says this: Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having high priests over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you. We do thank you for this night. Lord, we do pray for Pastor and his family tonight. Pray you just give them a good time away, some quality time. Lord, just to spend with the family. Father, Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, I pray now that you bless your words as it goes forth. Lord, I just pray that will be done in each of our lives tonight. Lord, help us to be listening and help us to apply ourselves to listening tonight. Apply ourselves to learning, and if Father, Lord, I know as we do those things that you'll speak to our hearts. And Father, Lord, when you speak, Lord, I pray that we all would make the right decisions. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Just there, of course, we have the same notes, not the same notes, but pretty much the same outline that we have each week. The text is Hebrews 10. The title is the Love the Brethren series. And then under the introduction, we have the context of the book. The book of Hebrews is written to Jews that are now saved, and they pretty much have lost all because when they accepted Christ as their Savior, they pretty much was disowned by their families. And we saw the second dot, that these new Christians have a new reality. Number one, the first clear dot says, now have a place, the blank should be place, now have a place of access. Look at verse 19. Remember the Jews in the Old Testament, they could not go into the Holy of Holies, but now these Jews here, verse 19, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. So we see now that they can come directly before the throne of God. And then the second dot, we see the price of access. That number one is the place, and number two is the price of access. Verse 19b, it says, by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is saved through his flesh. So we see that Christ's sacrifice is what enabled us to come before God for ourselves. No priest has to do it. And then look at verse 20 and into 21. We have the proof. We have the proof. Verse 20. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, to say his flesh, verse 21, and having high priest over the house of God. With the proof of access, we see here, I wrote this down here, we see that Christ is there and we can be too. He's the only priest that could take us before God. So in the Old Testament, the priest would go in before go in into God himself, to the Holy of Holies and come back out. But when Christ goes in, he takes us in with him. So we see that these Jewish Christians had a new reality. And then on the point of contact, not only do these new believers have a new reality, but verse 22-25, we see they have a new responsibility, and we as brethren have the same reality and the same responsibility they did. Then Roman number one there, we have a responsibility Godward. The word there is Godward. Am I going slow enough, Miss Gale? Okay, that they have a new have responsibility Godward. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, having our faith, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We see there that spirit, you know, that God demands spiritual cleanness because God is holy, and how that we should not live sensually. We talked about that the first, second week. That's when we live by our senses, or soullessly. Having a hard time talking tonight. Soullessly, sensually was the first one. We shouldn't live by our senses. Number two, we should not live by our mind or will. But spiritually, we're going to remember we talked about a couple weeks ago about those three things, the sensual and the soulish and the spiritual man, you know, how we be a spiritual man. So we have a responsibility to God, we're to be spiritual. And then number two, we have a responsibility selfward there, the blank there in verse 23. Says this, let us hold fast profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We see here that faith is forward looking. Faith is forward looking. And look at James 1:16, if you would, please. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 16. And then this is more of a lesson, but James 1:16. I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. Okay, let's try Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 6:18. I'm sure my wife messed it up. I didn't. I'm sure she, when she typed it, she messed it up. But she should say, she would say I should double check it. Hebrews 6:18, wherein God that by two innumerable things, which is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we should be looking forward. We should be learning and growing. So we have a responsibility Godward and selfward. And number three, we have a responsibility manward. And that's in verse 24 and 25. And that's where we're going to slow up a little bit now. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. We have responsibility manward. And then verse 24 and 25, I'm going to read those again if it's okay. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking assembling ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Look at letter A. There's three words to look at. The word consider, the first blank there is consider. The word consider means to perceive, to regard, fix one's eyes upon, respect. The word consider, and we see the word to consider one another. Then the second word there is provoke. Means to move, incitement, irritation from two. It's provoke is from two Greek words. Means basically pour acid, or to irritate. So we're to consider, we're to provoke, and then number three, the word is exhorting one another, and that's inciting to. Good deeds by words and arguments. Inciting to good deeds by words and arguments. Exhorting. So it's things we're supposed to do to one another. We're supposed to consider one another, provoke one another, exhort one another. Are we all together still? No? Okay. And then letter B. Put these three words together and we see that we are to look out for one another. And to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. Put these three words together, consider, provoke, exhort, and we see that we are to look out one for another, encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. In letter C, we see a question, how can we do this? Glad you asked. Number one, we are to love one another. Love one another. We'll go back and look at some verses from the past. Look at John, if you would, John 15:12. John 15:12. John 15, 12, verse 13, 17. We see we are to love one another. John 15, 12, just kind of a review and then a conclusion, and we'll be done. 15, 12 says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then look over at verse 13. Says, greater love hath no man than this, a man laid down his life for his friend. We're to love each other. And then verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then some other verses that we gave you back then, we gave you verses in John, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Peter, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we gave you a lot of verses then. So we're to love one another. Then number two, we are to work together. We are to work together. Then look over at, and I think your sheet is different than mine. Is there three blanks under that in your sheet? And then the first blank is 1 Corinthians 12:18. 1 Corinthians 12:18. We'll go over these verses. Am I okay, Lydia? Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:18 says this. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So we see there that he set the members in the body. And then the next blank should be 1 Corinthians 12:24. He set the members in the body in 1 Corinthians 12:24. I want the one that's a verse where it's tempered. I just saw it. It's right through here. The word tempered is in one of these verses. 24? Okay, for our comely parts have no need, but God have tempered the body. So we see that God had tempered the body. He's put together, you know, and then he set the body, he set the members, he's tempered the body. And then Ephesians 4:16, we see also what he's done. And we're almost done with the notes. Aren't you glad? Ephesians 4:16. Says this: For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So we see that is that the body is joined. Ephesians 4:16 says the body is joined. So we see we're to love one another. We're to work together. Number three, we are to worship together. We are to worship together. Back in our text in Hebrews 10:25, it says to not forsake assembling ourselves together as a matter of some is. So Hebrews 10:25, we are to worship together. Then number four, Hebrews 10:25 again says, it begs one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we are to watch and wait together. We're to watch and wait together. So it all boils down to this simple truth. I'm commanded by God to love the brethren. I'm commanded by God to love the brethren. And God set us all together as members in the church. Jake is a member, and Miss Sutherland's a member, and Brother Sutherland's a member. And God has us all here for a body. And as a body, we're to love each other. And God has gave us gifts to use in the body. There are some that can teach. There are some can give, and then, you know, there's some that can serve and minister and do the different things. But bottom line is that we all have a part to play. As a believer, I'm responsible to fulfill my part of the body of Christ. I'm responsible to love the brethren. I'm responsible to help encourage the brethren, to edify the brethren. The last point is this, that this verse goes beyond fellowshipping. But that's going to be real quick, just real quick. We go next door, when we go over for fellowships. We say, hi, how are you? How's things going? Of course, he says things are great, even though that day he's had a terrible day. You know, he's lost money, had a flat tire, and, you know, this blew up and that blew up in his truck, and this happened on the job site. He says, I'm doing great. How are you today? And we're fellowshipping. But to provoke means I go beyond that fellowshipping and take time to iron sharpen iron. I take time that I've studied enough that if I see him going the wrong direction, I can say, Ezra, man, I love you, but is it okay if we go for a cup of coffee and just sit and talk sometime? Then I can take the word of God, say, Ezra, listen, I love you, but can I share a concern in my life? I mean, a concern in your life? To provoke sometimes, the two words are poor acid. Sometimes it's confrontation. I love you, and because I love you, I see you going the wrong direction. And can we just sit and have a Bible study on this issue? But in today's world, we run from confrontation. We want to get together and have fellowship, but we don't want to get together and have discipleship where we teach and train each other. We want to talk about our guns and our boats and our jeeps and this and that, and we want to talk about all those fun things. But we got many times in today's world, people just don't want to say, "Brother, I love you," but you're wrong. If I love him, I see him going the wrong direction. What kind of friend am I if I don't stop him and warn him? If I love Ezra and I see him making some bad decisions in life, and he's a member of our church and I see him every Sunday. Now, if I'm sensual, if I live by my senses, I don't want to do that. You know why? Because it's dangerous. He might punch me in the face. I don't know. You know, he might get angry at me. But you know, sometimes, every so often, folks get angry at me. He might get angry at me. He might hurt my feelings. Or my mind, the will, and intellect might say, you know what? That's not a good idea. And I'll reason myself out of going to talk to him, because it just doesn't make sense to instruct him or to help him. You know. There's all kind of reasons not to do what's right. So if I'm sensual and I live by my senses, I won't go confront him or talk to him. Now, if I am soulish, I'll talk myself out of going to talk to him. But spiritually, it'll break my heart. Spiritually, it'll break my heart to watch him ruin his life. And as I begin to pray for him, and I love him, and I pray for him, and the Spirit of God says, Rick, I want you to go talk to Ezra. But Lord, what do I say? Well, then I study. I look it up. I ask counsel. Say, Lord, help me learn this. And then I step back and I go talk to him and say, Ezra, and I love you, but you know, I got some concerns. It's okay, we sit and talk. And probably 9 out of 10, he'll stop and listen. Because if he knows I care. If he knows that, you know the old saying that folks don't know how much you know till they know how much you care. And if folks know that we love them and we care for them, when we go talk to them, or occasion opens up for the Lord opens the door for us to talk to them, and we begin to discuss God's word, then they listen most of the time. Thank you, Ezra. I guess my whole thought boils down to this tonight. As we love each other, and there's all kind of directions I could went tonight, but I want to stop at this. If I will stop and understand that God has us all here for a reason, and we should love each other and care for each other. That's why It's important that we sit and listen to their preaching. That way I can learn, I can grow. So when I see another brother having an issue, I know enough of the Word of God. But it takes study. It takes work to take God's Word and to sit and to read it. It takes time to come by this week one day and ask me a question. And off the top of my head, I just drew a blank. I said, it's okay if we just get together later. And that was fine. Because sometimes, top of our head, we just draw a blank. At least I do sometimes. But then later I said, oh, okay, yeah, it's there. I see it now. But it takes time to go back and look stuff up. So I encourage you, let's love each other enough that when we see somebody going the wrong direction, provoke them. If I pour acid on your arm, it's going to hurt. It's going to irritate you. But you know what? It's going to provoke him unto good works. In our lives, sometimes we have to provoke each other unto good works. Encourage them to do good works. Are we the type of people? Are we the type of people that we love people to the point of fellowshipping, or do we love them past the fellowshipping into the provoking part where we're willing to sit down with God's Word and say, "Listen, I love you. Can I share some concerns for you?" And normally they will listen. Sometimes they won't. But if I love them, I got a friend of mine that is dead now. I loved him. He loved me. But if I go talk to him, he got aggravated and he just got all huffy about things. But I still loved him enough to go talk to him. And he loved me enough. He let me talk to him. I was always invited to his house. I could always go by anytime I wanted to. And then when he died, his wife called me. She said, "I want you to know so-and-so passed away today, or passed away the other day. We had a very private funeral. It's family only. But I want you to know. I knew that you loved him. I knew he loved you. Because we cared about each other. Tonight, let's love each other. Let's love each other as brothers and sisters of Christ. Let's love to spend time with each other. Let's talk to each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's hold no odd or against each other. But let's love each other enough when we see each other messing up. You know, I'm thankful that when I was in high school, there's some kids in high school that if they saw me do something wrong, they went and told the youth director, "Rick Slee, you're so what Rick did at school." He loved me enough to come to school one day and pick me up. Took me out for ice cream. He said, "Rick, I heard about this. Is this true?" I said, "Yeah, Chuck, that's true." He said, "I love you, Rick." He said, "That's wrong." He said, "That was the wrong thing to do. Can I show you from God's Word why that was wrong?" He poured some acid on me a little bit. He stirred me to action. He provoked me to good works to do what's right. So let's love each other enough to not only have fellowships with each other. Feast of Charity is awesome. I love them, especially when Pastor had White Castles the other day. That was a great, great Feast of Charity. But let's love each other enough to be able to sit with somebody and talk to them. If you have some of our older members, when Cadetta first started, they had fellowships in their home after church. And they discussed the Bible. And they helped the younger Christians to learn and grow, see what was right and what was wrong. Because they were mature enough to do that. If we love each other, we'll make sure that we're mature enough to help each other. If you're not mature enough, ask God to help you learn, help me grow. When we have discipleship classes, come to discipleship classes. When we have stuff here, if you're able to come to those things. Study your Bible at home. Just learn what thus saith the Lord. Because we need each other. We need each other. It's not just the pastor's responsibility to provoke into good works. It's all of our responsibilities to each other. There'll be times when I'm down and you're down. We'll go through hard times. And pastor can't be everywhere. He can pray for us, but he can't be everywhere. But if the church is mature and somebody can come by and say, Rick, man, you're having a hard time. I'm praying for you. I love you. Can we just sit and discuss this thing? That's why we're all set here together to work together. Go ahead and turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. The word consider means to perceive, regard, fix one's eyes upon, to respect. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Provoke means to move, to incite irritation. It means to get one to thinking, consider, provoke, and let's consider one another to provoke to love and good works. And then the last part, it says, but exhorting one another. Take time to exhort each other to do what's right. And then the last phrase, and as you see the day approaching, the Lord's coming soon. You know, there's a song we sang when I was in the teen choir way back when. Jesus is coming soon, morn or night or noon, many will meet their doom. Then I forget how the rest of it goes. But you know what? It was true when I was a teenager. It's true now when I'm 59 years old. He's coming soon. Will the Lord find us loving the brethren? Or will he find us crawling our shell somewhere, not wanting to get out in fellowship with people, or not wanting to confront people because we're afraid of getting hurt? And in today's world, we're always afraid. I think it's one thing that stuttering is done for me. I'm used to being laughed at. When I was a kid, when you're a kid and you stutter and you wear glasses and you're scrawny, you might as well hang it up, buddy. You got a whole lot of hope. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get mocked. I mean, when I was a kid, I was in the first grade. I spent weeks in the hospital. I lost weight. I got sick. They couldn't figure out why. And I spent weeks in the hospital once in first grade. And then I never got over it until I got married. The first time I took my wife to introduce to my grandma, I gained weight that summer. And my grandma said, "Praise the Lord, he's fat." I said, "Okay, yeah." So because I was always puny, I was white. I wore the old black, the black plastic with glasses, and I stuttered. And when you're a kid, you must get used to it. As a Christian, sometimes this world's going to laugh at us. It should not be in the house of God. We should love each other. If we love each other, we're going to laugh at each other. We're going to exhort, encourage, and consider each other. If there's somebody here tonight that you just don't like, I love you, but you're wrong. If there's somebody here tonight that you just would not have as a friend, you're wrong. It might be that you're the person that God's going to use to work in their life. It might be that God's going to use you or going to use them in your life. But I know this, God set us all in order, fitly joined together. We're all here for a reason. And that's to exhort, to provoke, and encourage each other.